Luke chapter 7, verses 23 to 35. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. When the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in a luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I say to you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. To what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, He is a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet, wisdom is vindicated by all her children. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may understand your word. And let us truly believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. O Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all of us that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, as we hear your word. Oh, Father, receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last time, I have told you that I wanted to look at from verse 19 all the way to verse 35 in the chapter 7 of the book of Luke. I wanted to look at all those verses in one sermon, but because of time, we were able to look at only up to verse 23. So today we will finish the rest from 23 to 35 today. In the passage that we looked at the last time, verses 19 through 23, the John the Baptist asked Jesus Christ through two of his disciples this question. Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And what is this question? Is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Or do we look for someone else? Right now, Jews, ethnic Jews who live in Israel, they're still waiting for the Messiah. They reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah because Jesus does not fit their expectation of the Messiah. So is Jesus the Messiah, or do we look for someone else? Is Jesus Christ the truly the Son of God, the Messiah who came to accomplish the kingdom of God. And we saw why people ask this question. Because they do not know who Jesus is, and they do not know what he came to do. They understand the Messiah only in terms of this world, and what the Messiah would do also in terms of this world. John the Baptist, he asked this question. Why? Because he is in a prison. Because his understanding of Messiah and what will he do is that when he comes, he will free Israelites from the oppression of Roman soldiers and that Jews will rule the world. But he sees himself in a prison. So he's questioning. Because his suffering is long-lasting and very severe. If Jesus is the Messiah, then why am I in prison? Because Jesus does not do things according to his beliefs, Jesus becomes the problem. To those who are expecting the worldly Messiah, what Jesus does and how he does things and who he is, all are unsatisfactory and even offensive. The world always questions. They will ask you, if a God exists, if there is God, then why the bad things happen in this world? Maybe you're asking, if God loves me and if God blesses me, then why these things are happening in my life? Just because God does not do things according to their sinful minds, Jesus Christ becomes a stumbling block to them. Even though Jesus actually told us clearly, written form in the Bible, what he will do, what he did, and what will he do in the future. But they really don't care about what the Bible says. They desire the worldly Messiah who would obey themselves. You know, prayer is like a command to them. You command God to do something for you and God does it. And they call that prayer. No, it's not a prayer. So many people question Jesus just because he does not fit their understanding of who the Messiah is. Thus Jesus says, verse 23, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And from then on, he continued to speak this matter all the way to verse 35, which we're looking at today. Verse 24, when the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. What is Jesus asking? Well, he's asking, do you know who John the Baptist is and why he came? Jesus asked them, when you went out to see John, you did not go out into the wilderness to see a reed shaken by the wind, did you? You did not go out to see a man dressed in soft clothing. If that was what you went out to see, then you should have gone out to royal palace. But you actually went out to see a prophet. Then, do you know who he is? Do you know what he came to do? Yes, he is a more than a prophet. Then he asks in verse 27, this is the one about whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And you need to understand the point that Jesus is making. The John the Baptist. He is the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord, the way of the Messiah. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Which means the one who knows who John the Baptist is, that person also knows who Jesus Christ is. Because John the Baptist is the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. The one who knows what John the Baptist came to do, that person will know also what Jesus came to accomplish. And the same person also knows how amazing the reality that Jesus is accomplishing. So Luke chapter 7 verse 28, I say to you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. See, God says John the Baptist, he is the greatest prophet, greater than all the prophets in the Old Testament. He is the greatest of those born of woman. But the kingdom of God that Jesus is accomplishing is so great that he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. The least greatest one in the kingdom of God is greater than the John the Baptist. What does it mean? The greatest of the time of promise is less than the least of the time of the fulfillment. Simply put, the greatest of the world is less than the least of heaven. That's what God is saying. Letting us know how great accomplishment that he is accomplishing. And how great the people who benefit from what he is accomplishing. Whatever the greatest person you think is in this world, the least of heaven is greater than that person. Because that greatest person of the world, he will end up in hell and burn in hell forever. And that's not being great at all. Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. When all the people and the tax collector heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. You can see all the people are divided into two groups. One who do not receive Christ and his teaching, and one who accepts and believes Jesus Christ and his teaching. You know, the world divides people into so many categories. How rich they are, how famous they are, or whatever college they came out from, and all that kind of stuff. But God only divides men, the whole world, into two groups. In Christ and not in Christ. See here, there are people who receive John the Baptist and his teachings, and the others who do not receive John the Baptist and his teaching. The one who received John the Baptist and his teaching acknowledged God's justice, but for the other rejected God's purpose for themselves. Yes, Jesus speaks in terms of John the Baptist, but even so, John is not the central. The one who received John the Baptist and his teaching is the one who also receives Jesus Christ and his teaching. The teaching of John the Baptist is not any different from the teachings of Jesus Christ. The difference is their respective positions in the redemptive history of God. But it is one redemptive history of God. John the Baptist proclaimed the repentance of sin in the period of preparation of the coming Messiah. But Jesus, he proclaimed the forgiveness of sins and the salvation that he is accomplishing. Thus, Jesus tells his people to rejoice. It's a different period in redemptive history. Jesus, in the fulfillment period, John the Baptist, preparation period. So John the Baptist will focus on repentance. But Jesus Christ, rejoice, because salvation has been accomplished. Thus, to reject John the Baptist and his teaching is to reject Jesus Christ and his teaching. And people think that it's a different teaching, but it's not different teaching. So Jesus says, verse 31 through 32, to what then shall I compare the men of this generation and what they are like? And what you need to understand is this, that in according to this world, 2,000 years ago and today is a different time. Not according to the Bible. Bible has its own way to divide time. Before Christ and after Christ. Before things are fulfilled and after things are fulfilled. So 2,000 years ago, after Jesus accomplished all of his redemptive work, that time and today is the same time according to the Bible. Man, there are some people who are mistaken what Bible is about. So they say, oh, this was written 2,000 years ago. So if you want to apply something that was written 2,000 years ago to the modern society, you have to put it in a different context. No, not according to the Bible. 2,000 years ago, people were sinners just like today. Nothing has changed. And Jesus' accomplishments has not changed. So our spiritual reality is the same. So the word will teach the reality of Christians 2,000 years ago, and today it teaches the same thing, and I don't have to change anything. And this whole notion of you have to change the Word of God to fit different times, it's just so ridiculous. You don't change the Bible to fit your situation. You change your situation to fit the Bible. Because the Bible is the reality, eternal reality that Christ has accomplished for us. And if your life doesn't fit what the Bible says, then you change. You don't change the Bible to fit your situation. But so many people, they don't get it. Even though they say this is the eternal Word of God, they treat it as if it's not eternal word. Bible doesn't change. Understand, if 2,000 years ago, if God hated certain sin, then He hates it today. Even Christians don't get this. That somehow God changes. 2,000 years ago, certain sins were sin. Paul said it, but that's 2,000 years ago. Time has changed, so how can you call that sin anymore? Well, God's word doesn't change. If it was sin according to God 2,000 years ago, then it is still sin according to God today. They change God to fit whatever sinful desire they have today. So you even see Christians no longer call certain sins sin anymore. In the name of loving God, as if God has changed. No. So, his description here of the generation is the description of our generation. Actually, it's just a little bit more sinful. So he said, to what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance, and we sang a dirge, and you did not weep. Listen very carefully here, what is Jesus saying to us? This generation, sinful generation, they are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance, and we sang a funeral song, and you did not weep. First of all, the sinners that reject Jesus, they are like the immature children. Flat out, God says it. First thing, they are like immature children. The children who play the flute and sang a dirge, they are the men of this generation. They are the sinners who reject Jesus Christ. And the one who did not dance, even though the children play the flute, is the John the Baptist. You remember, he came with the message of repentance. So it wasn't not about dancing and whatever. It was not about dancing. Because he came and said, repent. The one who did not weep, even though children sang a dirge, is Jesus Christ. He did not weep. He brought the message of rejoicing in God because salvation has been accomplished. Here, the John the Baptist and Jesus, they are the ones who represent God. Just as we saw last time, the sinners are displeased when God does not do what they want God to do. Even though, they say, even though we played the flute for you, God, you did not dance. Even though we sang a funeral song for you, God, you did not weep. That's their complaint. Here, look at what we do for you. All these things that we do for you. And we ask you to do this and you do not do. You don't play the game that these children play. When we play the flute with all our effort, God, you should dance. When we sing a dirge with all our hearts, God, you must weep. Is this how you live your life? That you command God, and God has to do what you want Him to do? This is this generation, this sinful generation. This is how they are. And even the churches are today, it's like this. But see, God doesn't do that. And this generation don't like it. Why is God ignoring us, they say? We don't like it when God does not do what we want Him to do. This is the world. They create God according to their sinful hearts and believe that God should do this or that. And when things do not go their sinful ways, they complain. To these sinners, God and the relationship with God is just like the games that the immature children play in the marketplace. Christianity is just a game. Brothers and sisters, listen to what Jesus says to you. See, this is the reality of sinful world. What is worst is that many times the church does the same. Like I said, prayers are commands in disguise. We command God to do things. And if He doesn't do what you ask, then you are full of complaint. There's no happiness in your hearts. Brothers and sisters, the sinners do not obey God's will. They don't just obey. By nature, they cannot obey. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. See, this world, their sinful hearts have already determined what is good and what is the truth. So they bring so many demands as they come to the gospel. They bring so much expectations according to their sinful logic as they come to the gospel. So to them, listening to the truth is not as important as their sinful desires or demands are met. The prejudices, the preconceptions according to their sinful hearts are working very hard in their minds so that there is no room for the truth of God. We who believe cannot convince them unless God recreates them and gives them the new heart. There is no way for them to believe and accept the truth of God. So don't expect this world to change. It will get worse, Bible says. And you and I, we are the witnesses. If you live your life more than, 50 years in this world, you could see it's getting worse. And I'm not talking about getting worse in a moral way. Yeah, that too. But I'm just talking about just blatantly going against God's word. That's what I'm talking about. Because according to God, it's not about morals. And I have to keep giving you this example because people misunderstand. When we say bad things, we think in terms of morals. But like I said before, Buddhist. When we see a Buddhist walking down the street, we don't see him as a filthy, morally filthy sinner. But he is breaking the first commandment, which is the highest commandment of God, and he's breaking it. That's why he is a filthy sinner. Not morally, but understand to God what is filthy. So even those people who are not morally filthy, but going against God, they are filthy sinners. Do you understand? But some Christians, they don't get it. They only think in terms of the world. So it's going to get worse. God already described to us how the generation of this sinful world is. They're immature children playing games. Brothers and sisters, through our passage today, we see the reality of this world which rejects Jesus Christ. The world changes constantly. One time it will play the flute and desiring dancing. The other time it will sing a funeral song and desire weeping. It will do this and that, but at the end, all is wrong and it complains all the time. It truly does not know what it wants. In other words, this world has no satisfaction. And that is the problem. And I see the same problem in so-called Christians. They just don't have any satisfaction. Why? Because they don't understand the gospel. They do not understand what Christ has done and accomplished for them. So they judge everything by the world. They judge everything by sight, not living by faith. So complain. No satisfaction, even though he or she is Christian. No happiness. What's going on? No satisfaction when they play the flute. No satisfaction when they sing a dirge. Isaiah 57 verse 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And that's how the world is. Luke chapter 7 verse 33-35, for John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. This world, they don't believe, they do not accept. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It is just complete darkness. John the Baptist, he preached the repentance of sin because he worked during the time of preparing for the Messiah's coming. Thus he has come eating no bread and drinking no wine. But the sinners, they complain that he has a demon. But Jesus come to preach the forgiveness of sin and the salvation of God from sin. which is a joyous gospel, but sinners were saying, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. See, the sinners rejected the repentance of sins, and they also rejected the joyous of gospel. In fact, they rejected all of truth. Thus, Jesus says in verse 35, yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. The children of wisdom, the believers who accept Jesus Christ, and through these people, through you and through me, the truthfulness of the truth is witnessed. You and I are not part of men of this generation. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, who gave himself, Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and the Father. We do not follow the patterns of this world. We believe in Jesus Christ. We have accepted Jesus Christ. We do not complain because God is not doing the things according to our sinful desire. That's not us. We are sons of God who will be like the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, and we participate in His life. Jesus Christ. All He did was according to God's will. John chapter 4, verse 34, you heard this many times. John said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Even when faced with the cross, right before His death, Jesus said, Matthew 26, verse 42b, my Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, your will be done. We have no doubt whatsoever that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the true Son of God who came and accomplished the kingdom of God. And we delight in the reality of heaven, and we witness that reality as we live our lives by faith. Brothers and sisters, we do not see our relationship with God as a childish game. We take our relationship with God very seriously, and we want to please Him in all things. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we delight in seeing God's will be done. It's not about demanding our will to God. It's about obeying to His will, no matter what that is. Do you understand? Sometimes His will is so hard to accept. You know, there was a time when my mom was a non-believer. And that's when, you know, God was calling me to be a pastor. And I tell my God, you know, if my mom is not able to pray for me as a pastor, then that's just so bad. But I was willing. I was willing to accept. If it is God's will for my mom to not be saved, then that's His will, and I have to, at the end, be pleased with that will of God. Christianity is not a game that children play. Christianity is all about His will be done. And that His will, is my pleasure. Please don't play a game with our God. But obey. and give everything you have. Your love. He's our God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you call us to live the very life of Jesus Christ. And no matter how many times we determine to obey you and follow you, you know we fail. But Father, we still find in our hearts, no matter how small it is, our desire to obey you, obey your will. And we know that that desire is not something we are able to create in us. We know that you have given that desire, and we thank you. So Father, that desire to obey you in us will grow and grow. It will increase so that we may live according to your will. But we thank you that one day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face, we will live exactly according to your will. That desire will be perfected in us. And your image will be perfected in us. We long for that day. Come quickly, Lord. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.